This morning I just wanted to be able to give some meditations, some thoughts about the cross. As I said, this is something that I want us to experience the power of today. It's the power of the cross. When you think about the cross, it perhaps is, I think, the most recognized symbol in the entire world. Perhaps everyone knows what a cross represents. When you see a cross, you might see it at a graveside or a memorial, maybe, by the side of the road where someone's been killed. It's often a sign of that. You might see it in hospital situations. People wear it, like I am, around my neck. They have it on their shirt. They have earrings. It's tattooed onto people's skin. The cross is one of the most recognized symbols, and it's an honored symbol. People know that it stands for Christianity. They know it stands for religion. When they see that symbol, it's probably everywhere. I think it's the symbol that's probably the most ubiquitous in all of the world. In fact, it was also very common during the time of Jesus, because the Romans used this form of execution in massive amounts in the land of Judea and Galilee where Jesus lived. So at the time that Jesus died on the cross, this wasn't an unusual thing that they saw happening. In fact, when Jesus died, there were two criminals with him, the three. That was probably one of the lowest number crucifixions they had. Because just 70 years before Jesus was born, 800 Pharisees were crucified at once. Can you imagine? So the people of Jesus' time would have seen 800 Pharisees hanging on the cross. The cross was used by Romans for slaves to show them that they really had no power or opposition. And it was used for rebels, because anyone that would challenge the authority of Rome, as we talked about last week, they were going to prove to you that you were lower than a slave. They were going to say, you want to be lifted up as a king? All right, we'll lift you up. But we'll lift you up like this. Shortly after Jesus was crucified, maybe 20, 30 years, right before the Romans came and actually did destroy the temple in Jerusalem because of the rebellion that they feared, 2,000 Jews were hung on crosses at the same time. 2,000 lying in the streets in Jerusalem, in Judea. The cross was everywhere, but it was scandalous. It was horrifying. It wasn't the symbol that we know today that we wear around our neck. See, the cross was designed not just to kill, but to humiliate, to torture, that you would die slowly, that you would be naked, that you would be hung, you know, that you would just be exposed to the elements. And it was intended to shame and humiliate. And even Romans didn't even want to see this cross. If the Romans saw me wearing a cross around my neck, it would be like if I came in and instead of this cross, I had a needle for a lethal injection, a syringe. Or maybe if I had a hangman's noose, how would you feel if I came in wearing that? You're starting to understand how the Romans felt about the cross and how the Jews felt about the cross and how everyone felt about the cross. It was a symbol of death, of shame. So as we think about the cross today, I wonder, how did the cross go from a symbol of humiliation to a symbol of hope? And I think the answer is very simple. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus died on that cross, when he shed his blood, everything changed. Everything changed. Because Jesus, on the cross, died for our sins, took our pain, took our shame, inspired so many people through the revolution that followed his rising from the dead that we'll celebrate next week, that the Christians were no longer ashamed to take this symbol, but proud of this symbol. It went from a symbol of humiliation to a symbol of honor, from scandal to celebration, from despair to hope, from death to life. Because of Jesus Christ and because of his blood. Now we try to understand that. We're not sure exactly what that means. Right? How does Jesus dying for us accomplish anything? There's lots of theories, theologies, philosophies about it that try to describe what this is. It's called the atonement, that Jesus atoned for our sins. And there's so many different ways to look at the atonement, because this is amazing. This is miraculous. This is something that we should continue to study and try to understand for the rest of our lives. But I want to read a quote from a book on the cross by N.T. Wright called The Day the Revolution Began. And again, we're going to be spending the next 2 weeks in Easter. I hope you come on Easter and we all can join in, not just the new life, but the revolution of new life, the revolution of the kingdom of God that's begun in the world. Listen to what this scholar writes. He said, Why is this story so powerful? What sense does it make to suppose that the death of one man 2,000 years ago in that obscure Roman province can have that kind of power? What sort of revelation is it that was launched on this dark and horrible afternoon that Jesus died? So before we go any further, let's make one thing clear. You don't have to answer the question why before the cross can have its effects. Think about it. You don't have to understand music theory or acoustics to be moved by beautiful music, do you? You don't. You don't have to understand cooking before you can enjoy a good meal. In the same way, you don't have to have a theory about why the cross is powerful before you can be moved and changed, before you can know that you're loved and you're forgiven because of Jesus Christ. And today, friends, that was my prayer. My prayer was that today we can be moved by the music. Today we can enjoy the meal, even though we may not fully understand everything that goes into it. And I believe that God, Jesus Christ, in his presence here, is revealing that to us. He's drawing us in to be transformed by his love and by his grace. In fact, we'll spend the next several weeks, as you might want to continue to come back, learning, talking, exploring what this idea means. But let me just give us some points where we can enter into this today. And I want us to have time to experience the power of this cross. What is the power of Jesus dying? It didn't make sense to the people then either. It didn't make sense to the people who were closest to Jesus. Even though he told them, I'm going to die, and then 3 days later I'll rise, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it, that it doesn't make sense to them. And there's so many in the world that still doesn't make sense to. They don't understand it. It sounds like a fable. It sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like something that's not true. How is this possible that Jesus came and died? Because he's the king. We wanted him to be the Messiah. We wanted him to be the one to come and rescue us. And Jesus was those things. He is the Messiah. He is the king. But first, he's what the Jews call the suffering servant. See, here's where they didn't understand fully at that moment. There were prophecies of one who would come and suffer for them. There were prophecies of one who would come and be their Messiah king. They didn't quite understand that was going to be the same person. And Jesus totally, radically started a revolution by saying, I'm both. Jesus is coming as our king to rule and reign. Now, if you know that, but he's coming again. He is. So I've been called his second coming. He's coming to rule and to reign, to establish his kingdom, to make everything right, to bring a new heaven and a new earth together. Right? Amen. So there's no more injustice, no more pain, no more sorrow. That day is coming, and the revolution began when he rose from the dead. But first, Jesus came to suffer and to die. And he did because he wanted to fully identify with his people, with the people that he loved, because they saw themselves as the suffering servant. When they read the passages that talked about the servant that was going to suffer, passages like this from Isaiah chapter 53, this is a prophecy of the suffering servant. Surely he took our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. They knew someone was coming to suffer, to die, to take away their sins. They didn't understand that Jesus was both that and the Messiah. So first he comes to save. next he'll come to be our King forever and ever. Amen. Jesus came on the cross. He offered forgiveness for sins. That's what transgressions means, iniquities, all the wickedness, all the evil, thoughts, actions, things we do and things that we don't do that we should. All of that was laid upon Jesus. It's interesting, they gave a little bit of a picture of this in the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law. So there was a Day of Atonement where all the sins of the people could be forgiven. And on that day, the high priest, people would bring animals for sacrifice. And he would sacrifice a ram, you know, and he would sacrifice that for himself, and he'd sprinkle the blood over all the altar and on the instruments and around and say, this makes it holy. This sets it apart for me. And then they would bring two goats, actually. And the two goats would come, and they would decide which one they were going to sacrifice, you know, and sprinkle the blood on the altar. And then one they kept alive. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of a term called the scapegoat, but this is where it comes from. In Leviticus 16, it says the one that was the scapegoat, they would bring. You know this, right? And they said the priest would place his hands on the head of the goat. And all of the sins of all of the people that they had committed would be placed on the head of this goat. And then the goat would be let out and taken away far into the wilderness so that the people's sins would be remembered. So that as Jesus says, I will separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. So far have I removed the transgressions from you, so that you might be cleansed and whole. And when Jesus came, and John the Baptist saw him from the River Jordan, he cried out, behold, look, there's the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. I suppose he could have said goat, but maybe that would sound weird to us. But he's invoking an image of a sacrificial animal taking away the sins of the world. So not only was Jesus the Lamb that was slain and his blood covered the cross and covered our sins, he was also the scapegoat. He was also the one that when he died, it says he descended down into hell and he took all of our sins, all of our iniquity, all of that with him, and he laid it to us. So that you and I can be forgiven.
Amen.
Think about his words on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them before they knew it, before they were even aware of it. I don't think any of us was alive when Jesus died on the cross, right? Maybe a couple of you, but I won't point that out. He died for our sins before we were born, before we committed them. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're automatically forgiven? No, not quite. But it means that all of the forgiveness is stored here, and it's for us to access. It's not like we're just walking along and he hits me with the thing and forgives. Whoa, I'm forgiven. But I didn't even have to do anything. No, he says, look, all the forgiveness that you could ever need is here. Remember what we talked about? What you need to do is repent, turn around, come to the cross, confess your sins. And all of the forgiveness is there for you. That's what the message is. It's stored up. It's made ready for you. Your sins were nailed to the cross. They were buried in the grave. They were taken far away. But you need to come and receive that forgiveness. And say, yes, God, I need that. And we won't come until we know that we need it. We just won't. But God may reveal to us today the things in our life that he said, I hung on that cross to take that away from you. And if you would just let go, I'll take it away from you. I'll take it away from you forever. That's the message of the cross, the forgiveness. There were two responses on the cross, weren't there? Two criminals, one on either side, as we heard read. One mocked Jesus, didn't believe. Said, how can you be anything on there on the cross? The other one recognized who Jesus was and said, Jesus, I know who you are. Remember me. And Jesus said the words of the song we sang, I'm not forgotten. He said, you are not forgotten. I know your name because I am the light of the darkness. I am the strength of the weakness. I am the father to the fatherless, the friend to the friendless. I am. What's your response to Jesus today? Which side will you take? Will you continue to have your questions and not believe Jesus and push him off? Or will you be like the one who reaches out and says, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, let the cross be for you. I'm going to have the cards handed out. I just wanted to give us a time to reflect. These cards simply say what the cross means to me. So for the rest of our time together this morning, what I want to do is just try to get out of the way as much as possible. Let the cross speak. Let Jesus speak to you from the cross and what he's done. So on this card, you can simply take time during our next set of worship songs to write things down. What does the cross mean to you? Just reflect upon its power in your own life. Amen. If maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then let this card be your way of doing that. We talk about the ABCs. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died for your sins. And C, commit your life to follow him. If you want to do that this morning, then just write on the board, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior today. This is the day I want to receive salvation from Jesus Christ. And if you do that, I ask you to turn it in so that we can pray with you and follow up with you. There's pens coming around too if anybody needs it. These cards, we want to collect and be able to hear the stories of what the cross means to you, what God is doing in your life. But it's optional. You don't have to turn it in. You can put your name on it or not, but at the end of the service when the offering's passed, you can put them in the offering, or you can hand them to someone on the way out. But just take this time. I invite you all now, even just quietly. Just take a deep breath. Close your eyes. Whatever works for you. Just begin to pray. Begin to think about what does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to you? Thank you.
first, let's just contemplate the love that's so amazing, so divine. Just think about the love of Jesus Christ right now. Meditate on the cross. Greater love has no one than this. The Bible says that one would lay down his life for his friends. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love so amazing, so divine. And then meditate on our response. Demands my soul. Demands my life. Calls me to come and bring everything to Jesus. What does the cross mean to you? Continue to pray. If you want to use the cards to write or reflect, just continue to think about what this cross means to you.